Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the editor-in-chief of the Quarterly Review of Film and Video, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, Robin Hood Radio's erudite critic who joins us weekly. The films are Knives Out, The Aeronauts, Dark Waters. Oh, how dramatic, David. How are you?
I'm okay, Jill. How are you doing this week?
I am also okay and quite curious about the sampling of the myriad movies out there.
Myriad movies. Yes, indeed. We are coming toward the end of the year, and as I often remark, a lot of movies are coming out because the distributors very often feel that their movies will have a better chance at awards if they come out right around when the award season is cranking up. And they're correct about that, because it is true that awards, and I've been known to vote on awards myself, awards do tend to go to movies that are fresh in the minds of those who are choosing the awards. And of course, what everybody has mainly in mind is the Academy Awards race. So we'll find out soon whether any of today's movies are going to figure importantly in that race. But that's a reason why so many movies and so many major movies are coming out right around now, as always happens this time of year. That said, being a major movie doesn't mean being a good movie. Major movies can just mean having great big ads in the newspapers. But in this case, all of these movies are at least pretty good, although I'm not as enthusiastic about some of them as some of my critical colleagues are. But with all of that said, let us begin with Knives Out, which is a movie which is written and directed by Rian Johnson, who also made the previous Star Wars movie and is a pretty versatile director. This is not a huge movie on the Star Wars kind of scale. It's a little bit more modest than that. And it is actually a very old-fashioned kind of movie. It is basically an Agatha Christie type a murder mystery. And it has a terrific cast. And I must say right now, I think that the credit for what I really like about this movie, it goes somewhat to writer-director Rian Johnson, but it goes really to the art director and the costume design, people like this. It's just a great, great, great looking film. Most of it, not all, but most of it takes place in a great, big, wonderful old house full of dark wood and quirky furnishings and kind of strange knickknacks and books all over the place, and it just looks terrific. That's what I like most about the movie. Other aspects of the movie I wasn't quite so crazy about. Anyway, it all begins when a very important character, a guy named Harlan Thrombey, I'm just saying that name because it's fun to say, who is an enormously famous and successful and rich writer of murder mysteries, played by the great Christopher Plummer, he dies. That's the very first thing that happens in the movie. He is discovered by a servant in the house, and there he is lying there in his room, dead as a doornail. And the question then becomes, what happened? Well, clearly he committed suicide. I won't go into it, but there's just no question about it. But the police, of course, they have to investigate, and so they come by and they start asking questions of people around the house, including various family members and staff members, because again, he was very rich and had a lot of servants of different kinds. So there is a relative played by Chris Evans, and another relative played by Jamie Lee Curtis, and another one played by Michael Shannon, and another one played by Toni Collette. All these people, there's others too around. So the police are questioning them all. And there's also a kind of a mysterious guy who pretty soon reveals who he is, played by Daniel Craig. And he turns out to be an outside investigator named Benoit Blanc. Again, this movie is so much in the tradition of those old-fashioned murder mysteries with main characters like Hercule Poirot. We now have Benoit Blanc, played by Daniel Craig. He's not French. He has a southern accent. And he is there because somebody hired him, and even he doesn't know who hired him. Just sent him an envelope full of cash and said, investigate this, investigate this. So the further the investigation goes on, the more it turns out that maybe Harlan Thrombey didn't commit suicide after all. Maybe he was murdered. And a very important character turns out to be his nurse, nurse played by Ana de Armas, and we wonder what she might have had to do with all this. Is she a good person or is she a bad person? And again, the mystery kind of thickens as we go along. The whole big question became, why did this man who obviously committed suicide maybe didn't commit suicide? And if that's the case, who killed him and why? Now, I have to admit, this movie has been getting phenomenal reviews. It's just astoundingly, almost unanimous praise for this movie. I agree it's a good movie. I have to say, I am not crazy about old-fashioned murder mysteries, Agatha Christie-type stuff. I've read Agatha Christie novels. I've seen Agatha Christie movie adaptations, including the fairly recent Murder on the Orient Express. And it just is a genre that doesn't appeal to me all that much. I don't enjoy sitting there trying to figure out who did it and why. I would rather have a movie that had a bit more intricacy and a bit more psychological depth and stuff like that. And this movie has a lot of intricacy plot-wise, but no other way. And I have to say, psychological depth, there is none whatsoever. I don't mean that I always have to have big, highfalutin, fancy movies. I just mean that this film really glides along the surface, and it's all about figuring out stuff. And again, there are other things I enjoy doing more when I watch a movie. That said, the performers are wonderful. They all have a great time with their roles. And as I said before, the movie looks just wonderful. So anybody who does enjoy murder mysteries will really have a good time at Knives Out. It just doesn't quite include me. Our next film today, The Aeronauts, is really quite different in a whole lot of ways, although it, again, is a very straight-ahead entertainment movie. In this case, we have a movie which is directed by and co-written by Tom Harper, and it's based, in this case, on a true story. We are way back in the middle 1800s in 1862, and this really happened. A guy who was pioneering the science of meteorology, one of the first person to say we can understand weather better and we can learn to predict weather better, maybe not control it, but at least predict it better than we do now. This man named James Glaisher was one of the early people back in the middle of the 19th century to have that ambition of understanding the weather better. And what better way to do that than by going up into the weather, which, of course, in the middle of the 1800s meant going up in a hot air balloon. So he needs somebody to work with him, and because he has to arrange funding and stuff like that for all of his enterprises. But as a partner who's going to help him out in this, he teams up with somebody very different from him, somebody who's not a scientist at all, a woman named Amelia Wren. And she is actually a kind of a daredevil balloonist. She and her husband did an act when they went up and did stunts in a balloon way, way, way up in the high atmosphere that people would watch from the ground below. And we find out early in the film that her husband was killed in the course of some of this stuff. So she is now a widow, and she's pretty much staying away from balloons. But anyway, she ends up teaming up with the scientist James Glaisher. So we have this odd couple, this great scientist who believes we can understand weather, and this basically daredevil balloonist, and they go up together in a balloon on a fantastic adventure to try to accomplish his dream of discovering things with, of course, using 19th century instruments, discovering things, true things about the weather. And that's what the movie is about. Now, most of the movie is this phenomenal balloon flight when they're way, way up and going higher than any human being has ever gone before, even in a hot air balloon. And they run into all kinds of expected difficulties and all kinds of unexpected difficulties. And then we have flashbacks. We have flashbacks to him putting together the expedition, raising funding, facing the mockery and scorn of his scientific colleagues who say, oh, this will never come to anything. We can never understand the weather, that kind of thing. And also we learn about her and her partnership with her husband and how he died and that sort of thing. And then eventually we find out whether this expedition comes to anything or not. And that's what the movie's about. Now, for me, I've said this before about other movies that take place in really high places, whether it's a mountain like that recent documentary Free Solo, or whether it's a mountain climbing movie, or whether it's in this case a hot air balloon movie. As an acrophobe, as somebody who does not deal well with heights in real life, for me, these are all horror movies, and I love them. I just enjoy sitting there squirming in my seat and holding on for dear life and wondering how these people ever allowed themselves to get so high off the ground, and why did they do it, and why don't they come back down again? So anyway, I enjoy the Aeronauts on that level. It really is a terrific visual experience. We have all of these, you know, using, of course, modern day visual effects, we have all of these fantastical scenes with these people way up where it's freezing cold and there's not very much air to breathe, and sometimes there's climbing up around the outside of the balloon because a valve got stuck way up top, and then they're down in the basket below and trying to get rid of weight by throwing things off. Anyway, it's a very exciting movie in that respect. In terms of character development, again, in terms of psychological depth, no, there's really none of that. But as a sheer visual spectacle of a very unconventional kind of science fictional episode based on something that really happened, it really is quite an eyeful. So I had a good time watching The Aeronauts. It's a very suspenseful movie. I was wondering how this was all going to turn out. Are they both going to survive? What's going to happen? So anyway, I had a good time watching The Aeronauts. I don't think it's going to be a gigantic award winner or anything like that. But it's a good movie. And I especially enjoyed watching Eddie Redmayne and Felicity Jones, who do a wonderful job as the two main characters who have to carry the movie along with their co-star, that gigantic hot air balloon. Our final movie for today, Dark Waters, is also based on real-life stuff, but in this case, stuff that happened really quite recently. This is the story of an attorney. And he works for a great big law firm that earns a whole lot of its money defending chemical corporations, chemical companies from claims against them. That's what his law firm's in Cincinnati. Again, this is all based on real life. The guy's name is Robert Bilott, and that's what they do. They represent chemical companies and other major corporations. They represent them and defend them against lawsuits and things like that. However, a relative of Robert Bilott's is approached by somebody who is very concerned, a farmer, that somehow there's horrible things happening on his farm. Animals are dying. And he's convinced that pollution is the reason for this. And yes, DuPont has been engaged in a whole lot of chemical activity nearby. So anyway, this relative, because of one of his relatives knows this farmer, Robert Bilott ends up somehow getting involved with this case, building a case against DuPont for polluting this area and causing all kinds of horrible effects. So we have a guy whose job has always been defending corporate chemical corporations, now working against the chemical corporation, and one of the biggest and hugest and most powerful, DuPont. And that's what the story is about. And what this movie tells us is how Robert Bilott built this case against DuPont, facing every kind of opposition you can imagine, and eventually, well, you'll find out if you see the movie, whether he carries it through or not, whether he's successful or not, but that's what it's about. It's one of these real underdog stories about somebody single-handedly, he has the resources of the law firm behind him, although very often his law firm wants him to drop the case. This is the sort of client that they usually defend, not that they usually attack, and they want him to, but anyway, he more or less somewhat single-handedly manages to carry this case through, and again, you'll find out at the end of the movie how successful this was. And the whole thing, by the way, turns out those of us of a certain age will remember some of this stuff. The whole thing revolves around this chemical called PFOA, which turned into DuPont's hugely successful and ubiquitous product, Teflon. You know, the stuff that prevented things from sticking to your frying pan, and which turned out to have all kinds of toxic effects. And the thing is that with PFOA, things like it, once they get into the environment, they're almost impossible to get out of the environment. And once they get into the human body, they're almost impossible to get out of the human body. And again, the effects can be awfully bad. So a movie that starts out with cows getting sick and dying soon turns into a big question of human beings getting sick and dying, having their bodies poisoned, birth defect threats and things like that. And that is what this movie is really all about, is again this great case to prove that this happens in the first place, and to see if anything can be done to prevent these things from happening in the future. Robert Bilott, our main character based on real life, is played by Mark Ruffalo. I almost didn't recognize him at the beginning of the movie. He's gotten older, he's put on some weight, he plays a very different character from the kind of young, handsome guy he usually plays, and he is just excellent as the main character. His wife, a minor character. This is a very male-dominated movie, but his wife is very, very nicely played by Anne Hathaway. Robert Blott's boss is played by Tim Robbins. You can just see him having a great time. This is exactly the sort of liberal cause movie that plays into Tim Robbins' political activism as well as his movie acting. But all these people are great, good people also in the supporting cast, Mayor Winningham, Bill Camp. It's a beautifully acted movie. The movie was directed by Todd Haynes, and he, at near the beginning of his career, made a movie called Safe. One of the great movies, I feel, of the 1990s, a genuine masterpiece, which also has to do with environmental pollution. And that is a movie with real heart, real soul. Dark Waters returns him to that sort of subject area. There is really very little heart, very little soul in it. It's really a procedure, a procedural, about somebody going through the procedures of attacking a giant. It's David and Goliath. I wish the movie had more warmth, more soul, but it has a lot of humanity in its subject matter. And gosh, it really gets you thinking about how important it is to keep our minds focused on things like environmental pollution. It's still all too much with us. So that is my somewhat socially activistic story this week, Jill.
For which we thank you as always. David Sterritt, Films in Focus, the films Knives Out, The Aeronauts, and Dark Waters.